The 20th verse of the Tao Te Ching, quote, "Give up learning and you will be free from all your cares. What is the difference between yes and no? What is the difference between good and evil? Must I fear what others fear? Should I fear desolation when there is abundance? Should I fear darkness when that light is shining everywhere? In spring, some go to the park and climb the terrace, but I alone am drifting, not knowing where I am. Like a newborn babe before it learns to smile, I am alone, without a place to go. Most people have too much. I alone seem to be missing something. Mine is indeed the mind of an ignoramus in its unadulterated simplicity. I am but a guest in this world. While others rush about to get things done, I accept what is offered. I alone seem foolish, earning little, spending less. Other people strive for fame. I avoid the limelight, preferring to be left alone. Indeed, I seem like an idiot. No mind, no worries. I drift like a wave on the ocean. I blow as aimless as the wind. All men settle down in their grooves. I alone am stubborn and remain outside. But wherein I am most different from others is in knowing to take sustenance from the Great Mother." Unquote. Living without striving. In this verse of the Tao Te Ching, you're encouraged to experience your life free of worldly striving. Lao Tzu advises you to slow down your incessant demands for more and to relax your efforts to fill up every moment in anticipation of being somewhere else. You're invited to experience life in a way that can be summarized in the title of Ram Dass's book, Be Here Now. Be here in your mind as well as in your body, in a state of appreciation and an absence of longing. Let go of wondering about doing the right thing. Release the what-ifs and all of your goals for the future, replacing them with the power of this instant. Be here, and remember to do it now, for thinking about being someplace else uses up your precious present moments. The enlightened sage makes a practice of immersing himself completely in the current nowness of his life. Being here now is accomplished by adopting an acceptance of life as it is presented by the Great Mother, or the Tao. It's a surrendering process, if you will, simply allowing this great, all-creating, all-nourishing source to take you where it will. You give up the idea of having to get more or to be in another place in the future, and instead, you see yourself as whole and complete, just as you are. This surrendering process allows you to bear witness to the unlimited abundance and eternal light that is always present. You retrain yourself to give up your beliefs about lacks and shortages. You instead trust in the great source to provide what you need, as it always has done for all beings. Lao Tzu emphasizes that this wasn't a socially accepted standard even 2,500 years ago, as he refers to himself as an outsider who is unlike most people. Striving for satisfaction was viewed at that time as a proper role in life, just as it is today. The narrator of this verse admits that he is drifting, not knowing where he is, yet his tone is ironic. It's as if he's saying, no one really knows where they are in this endless universe with no beginning and no ending. So why not admit it and allow yourself to be moved by the Tao that brought you here from nowhere? You're being encouraged to simplify your life by not seeking another thing. Yes, others might judge you as unmotivated and call you an ignoramus, but your reward will be the strong sense of inner peace that comes from a direct knowing that you're here as a guest who's always being provided for. Yes, you may seem to be missing something, but the something is really only an illusion. You're no longer living inside of yourself with a desire to be someone else or to gain something that seems to be omnipresent in all of those around you. You've traded in striving for arriving. I accept what is offered, says the narrator of this provocative verse in the Tao Te Ching. He continues to express that this may seem foolish, perhaps echoing your thoughts as you contemplate letting go of striving. Lao Tzu is telling you to change how you see what's here now in your life, for then it will actually become exactly what you need in order to be happy. In other words, you can change how you look at striving and have contentment without anxiety and fear. When you live by the tenets explained in this verse, you begin to have a worry-free existence. Imagine that. No concerns, no fears, only a sense of being connected to the source of all, knowing that all will be handled for you by the same force that's always handling everything. Lao Tzu is teaching you to free your mind from its persistent nagging. The world and everything in it are already taken care of by the Tao. It has always done so, and it always will. Your mind continually urges you to strive in spite of the all-providing perfection of the Tao. It prompts you to pursue fame, to look for a groove or a purpose. Lao Tzu encourages you to do precisely the opposite. Stay outside the rat race and let your mind be in peaceful harmony with the Tao rather than worrying and fighting. The concluding line of this passage of the Tao Te Ching says it all, instructing you to change how you look at your life by knowing to take sustenance from the Great Mother. The following are suggestions coming from Lao Tzu to you in the 20th verse of the Tao Te Ching. First, practice letting go of thoughts about what's not here now. Just allow yourself to meld into the perfection of the universe you live in. You don't need another thing to be happy. It's all being provided for you right here, right now. Be in this moment and free yourself of striving for something more or someone else. This is a mind exercise that will put you in touch with the peace of the Tao. Affirm, it's all perfect. God's love is everywhere and forgets no one. I trust in this force to guide me, and I'm not allowing ego to enter here now. Notice how free you feel when you relax into this no fears, no worries attitude. And secondly, take time to let go and let God every single day. Say the words over and over to yourself until you can actually tell what the difference feels like. Letting go is a markedly distinct physical and psychological experience, much different from striving. Let go of your demands, along with your beliefs that you can't be happy because of what is supposedly missing in your life. Insisting that you need what you don't have is insane. The fact that you're okay without what you think you need is the change you want to see. Then you can note that you already have everything you need to be peaceful, happy, and content right here, right now. Relax into this knowing and affirm again and again, I'm letting go and letting God. I am a glorious infant nursing at the great, all-providing mother's breast. Do the Tao now. Begin to notice the situations where you're not in the moment because you're striving to complete or attain something for a future benefit. You may not realize how often you endeavor to accomplish all sorts of things with the idea that once you do, you'll finally have the time to be and do what you really, really want. This is one of the most pernicious ways that many of us unconsciously prevent or perpetually postpone a life free of striving. It's a tough one to become aware of, and may be easiest to see when your free time becomes hijacked by family members or business emergencies. Here's an example. You've put in extra hours at work all week in order to have a deliciously imagined free day. When you learn that your spouse has invited a friend of a friend who's never been to this part of the country before and whom you've never met to stay in your home. There are two opportunities to practice living without striving in this situation. The first, of course, is to catch yourself wrapped up in striving for future benefit, notice what you're doing, and focus on the now. The second comes after the example above, which is a difficult but incredibly rewarding exercise. Do the Tao now by accepting what is offered. That is, know that the situation in some way that your striving ego rejects is actually sustenance from the Great Mother. Relax and let go and allow. The 21st verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, the greatest virtue is to follow the Tao and the Tao alone. The Tao is elusive and intangible. Although formless and intangible, it gives rise to form. Although vague and elusive, it gives rise to shapes. Although dark and obscure, it is the spirit, the essence, the life, breath of all things. Throughout the ages, its name has been preserved in order to recall the beginning of all things. How do I know the ways of all things at the beginning? I look inside myself and see what is within me. End quote. Living the elusive paradox. Here in this 21st verse of the Tao Te Ching, Lao Tzu takes us back to the book's very first premise, living the mystery. He has returned to the idea's definition and virtue and reaffirmed it with greater clarity and precision. In this lesson, he not only asks us to become conscious of the elusive nature of the Tao, a principle that simply cannot be pinned down or experienced with the senses, but to also validate this awareness by recognizing ourselves as examples of this elusive paradox. Reread the concluding lines of this important verse. How do I know the ways of all things at the beginning? I look inside myself and see what is within me. Now go all the way back to your own beginning. How did you get here? I don't mean from a droplet or particle of human protoplasm. Go even before that. Quantum physics teaches that particles emerge from an invisible and formless energy field. So all creation, including your own, is a function of motion, from formless energy to form, from spirit to body, from the nameless Tao to a named object. The process of creation, along with the theme of understanding eternal namelessness, runs throughout the Tao Te Ching. This is the elusive paradox that you're invited to contemplate, allow, and experience. You can know it by examining your own nature and recognizing that the same principle that creates everything is animating your every thought and action. Right now, make a simple decision to move your index finger. Now wiggle your toes. Next, lift your arm. Finally, ask yourself, what is it that allows me to make these movements? In other words, what is it that allows you to see shapes and colors? What force behind your eyes invisibly signals you to process the sky as blue or a tree as tall? What is the formless energy that tweaks a vibration somewhere in your ear to give rise to sound? What it all is formless and nameless. Yes, it is vague. Yes, it is obscure. And when you begin to see the world in this manner, you begin knowing that aspect of yourself. This is what Lao Tzu describes as the life breath of all things, and it needn't remain a mystery. You have the same eternal Tao inside of you, and you apply it a million times a day. It's within you. It is you. This far-reaching verse of the Tao Te Ching asks you to let go of seeking results in money, accomplishments, acquisitions, fame, and so on. Instead, shift your attention to the energy in the beginning of all things, the elusive and intangible Tao. The greatest virtue is to find this nameless, formless force within yourself, know it by looking within, and seeing it at work in all of your thoughts and actions. This is what Lao Tzu was conveying to you more than 2,500 years before your birth. First, have an unquenchable thirst for the intangible and enigmatic force that supports all of life. Communicate with the source regularly. Ask for its guidance and meditate on its sacredness. The more you practice benevolent reverence for the invisible Tao, the more you'll feel connected to it. The presence of a known connection with the Tao will release you from the worry and stress and anxiety that are ego's way of looking at the world. While others around you may stay focused on their pursuit of wealth and fame and power, you'll notice it and smile compassionately as you practice being in a state of appreciation for the life breath of all things, including yourself. You'll feel safe and secure knowing that you're in a divine partnership with the all-knowing, all-providing Tao. I suggest that you simply take a moment or two several times a day to say aloud, "Thank you, God, for everything." Make this your own personal, respectful ritual. In fact, just a moment ago I said these very words, "Thank you, God, for allowing these words to appear, supposedly from my pen. I know that the source of everything, including these words, is the elusive and intangible Tao." And secondly, memorize the final two lines of this verse and silently recite them when needed. Repeat these two sentences. How do I know the ways of all things at the beginning? I look inside myself and see what is within me. Doing so will remind you that the Tao comes from the truth that's inside of you at all times. Give up trying to persuade anyone else of the correctness of your vision. When they're ready, their own teachers will surely appear. Here's a concluding thought on the elusive nature of the Tao written by Hafiz many centuries before the death of Lao Tzu, the great Sufi poet. Hafiz, quote, "If you think that the truth can be known from words, if you think that the sun and the ocean can pass through that tiny opening called the mouth, oh, someone should start laughing. Someone should start wildly laughing. Now." End quote. Do the Tao now. Today, become conscious of the force that allows your every movement. For 5 minutes in your meditation, stay in the gap between your thoughts and notice the elusive but omnipresent invisible source that allows you to speak, hear, touch, and move. I personally have created a meditation that can assist you in this process, and it's included in my book called Getting in the Gap. The 22nd verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, "The flexible are preserved unbroken. The bent become straight. The empty are filled. The exhausted becomes renewed. The poor are enriched. The rich are confounded. Therefore, the sage embraces the one. Because he doesn't display himself, people can see his light. Because he has nothing to prove, people can trust his words. Because he doesn't know who he is, people recognize themselves in him. Because he has no goal in mind, everything he does succeeds. The old saying that the flexible are preserved unbroken is surely right. If you have truly attained wholeness, everything will flock to you. Unquote. Living with flexibility. Having lived by the ocean for many years, I've observed the beauty and majesty of the tall palm trees that grow at the water's edge, often measuring 30 or 40 feet in height. These stately giants are able to withstand the enormous pressure that hurricane-force winds bring as they blow at speeds up to 200 miles per hour. Thousands of other trees in the huge storm's path are uprooted and destroyed, while the stately palms remain fixed in their rooted cells, proudly holding sway over their otherwise decimated domain. So what is the palm tree's secret to staying in one piece? The answer is flexibility. They bend almost down to the ground at times, and it's that variability that allows them to remain unbroken. In this 22nd verse of the Tao Te Ching, Lao Tzu invites you to embrace a similar quality of elasticity. Begin to sense the oneness that is the Tao supplying your resiliency and grounding, helping you to withstand the storms of your life as pliantly as the supple palm tree. When destructive energy comes along, allow yourself to resist brokenness by bending. Look for times you can make the choice to weather a storm by allowing it to blow through without resistance. By not fighting, but instead relaxing and going with all that confronts you, you enter the Tao time. This verse implies an added benefit of wholeness, which attracts everything to you. That is, if you want abundance, knowledge, health, love, and all the other attributes that personify the Tao, you need to be receptive to them. Lao Tzu instructs you that you must be empty in order to become filled, for attachments keep you so restricted that nothing can enter your already filled self. Being empty in this sense means not being full of beliefs and possessions or ego-driven ideas, but rather remaining open to all possibilities. This is in keeping with the nameless Tao. It doesn't restrict itself to a particular point of view or a singular way of doing things. It animates all. Similarly, the flexible person is open to all possibilities. There's nothing for him or her to prove because the Tao, not ego, is in charge. Awareness of the Tao nurtures flexibility, and removing your rigidity creates an atmosphere of trust. When you live from the perspective of being able to say, "I don't know for certain, but I'm willing to listen," you become a person whom others identify with. Why? Because your flexibility lets them see that their point of view is welcome. By being open to all possibilities, everyone who encounters you feels their ideas are valuable, and there's no need for conflict. As you connect more and more to your Tao nature, you begin noticing that this principle is perpetually present, available in every moment. In other words, the Tao isn't trying to get someplace other than where it is. It has no goals, no desires, no judgment. It flows everywhere because it's the energy of creation. To be in harmony with the Tao is to be free of goals, immersed in all that you're doing without concern about the outcome, just noticing in each moment and allowing yourself to flow with the creative source that's energizing everything and everyone in the universe. When you live in this way, failure becomes an impossibility. How can you fail at being yourself and trusting completely in the wisdom of the source of everything? With failure removed from your life, you understand what Lao Tzu means when he says that everything he does succeeds. Following are the messages from Lao Tzu as he wrote out this 22nd verse of the Tao Te Ching 2.5 millennia ago. First, change the way you see the storms of your life. Work at removing ego as the dominant influence over you. Release the need for the attention of others and witness how people become drawn to you naturally. Let go of having to win an argument and being right by changing the atmosphere with a statement such as, "You're very likely correct. Thanks for giving me a new perspective." This kind of a proclamation gives everyone permission to relax their rigidity because you have no need to prove yourself or to make others wrong. If you change the way you think, the life you're living will change. So be willing to say, "I don't know," or "I'm uncertain as to why I even did what I did." As Lao Tzu reminds you, when you suspend your pomposity and your rigidity, others recognize themselves in your flexible nature, and they'll trust you. And second, imagine yourself as a tall, stately palm tree. Be an organism without goals and objectives. Instead, stand strong and successful, capable of adjusting to the forces of nature. Be willing to adapt to whatever may come your way by initially allowing yourself to experience that energy, much like the bending tree in hurricane-force winds. When criticism comes, listen. When powerful forces push you in any direction, bow rather than fight. Lean rather than break. And allow yourself to be free from a rigid set of rules. In so doing, you'll be preserved and unbroken. Keep an inner vision of the wind symbolizing difficult situations as you affirm, I have no rigidity within me. I can bend to any wind and remain unbroken. I will use the strength of the wind to make me even stronger and better preserved. This simple teaching is so pleasant that you'll wonder why you didn't realize it before. In the Tao time, acknowledge the storm and then allow it to be felt in your body. Observe it without judgment, just like the tree bends in the wind. As rigidity reappears, notice that as well, allowing the winds to blow as you exercise the Tao in place of ego. Seek to uncover the root of your stiffness and achieve greater flexibility in the storms of life. When seen as this kind of opportunity to open to the Tao energy, storminess can be transformed into exhilarating events that uncover more and more of your own true nature. Do the Tao now. Listen to someone express an opinion that's the opposite of yours today. It could be on any of a variety of topics such as politics, the environment, religion, drugs, war, the death penalty, or what have you. Refuse to impose your position and instead remark, I've never considered that point of view. Thank you for sharing your ideas with me. By allowing a contrary position to be heard, you'll dismiss ego's attitude and welcome the flexibility of the Tao. The 23rd verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, to talk little is natural. Fierce winds do not blow all morning. A downpour of rain does not last the day. Who does this? Heaven and earth. But these are exaggerated, forced effects, and that is why they cannot be sustained. If heaven and earth cannot sustain a forced action, how much less is man able to do so? Those who follow the way become one with the way. Those who follow goodness become one with goodness. Those who stray from the way and goodness become one with failure. If you conform to the way, its power flows through you. Your actions become those of nature, your ways, those of heaven. Open yourself to the Tao and trust your natural responses, then everything will fall into place. Unquote. Living naturally. Everything that composes ultimately decomposes. Notice that I put the emphasis on the word thing. That's because all things on earth are temporary and in a constant state of change. Since you're on this planet, you too are a part of this always changing and always decomposing principle. In this 23rd verse of the Tao Te Ching, you're asked to observe the ways of nature and then make the choice to live harmoniously with them. Nature doesn't have to insist, push, or force anything. After all, storms don't last forever. Winds blow hard, but then they subside. The Tao creates from an eternal perspective, but everything is on its return trip home the moment it comes into being. So Lao Tzu instructs that if you live harmoniously with this simple principle, you'll be in tune with nature. Let go of a desire to force anyone or anything, and choose instead to consciously be part of the cyclical pattern of nature. Lao Tzu reminds you that not even heaven can sustain a forced action. In its inherent beingness, all action has a temporary existence and returns to a calmer state. In contemporary language, we'd say that everything blows over, ultimately. The teachings of this passage invite you to pause in the midst of strife or tension and remember that serenity and peace are on the way. This verse emphatically points out that you always have a choice. In every single situation, you can choose to observe exaggerated and forced energy. It might be verbally attempting to control a situation or cursing how life's events are unfolding. Regardless, these moments can be invitations to open to the Tao, even while in the midst of chaos and angst. This is how to follow the way. Remember how nature blows hard and then returns to calm. Follow the goodness of the Tao and you become goodness. Stray from goodness and you become one with failure. You are part of the law of form in time and space, composing and decomposing. Everything in nature is returning to its source. The question is, do you wish to participate consciously with this natural goodness, or would you rather spend your moments in anxiety and failure? The Tao response to this crucial question isn't within your ego, for it strongly believes in your ability to force things, to make things happen, or to be the person in charge. The Tao points out that the way is responsible for everything, with a naturalness about it that isn't forced. It reminds you that what seems so devastating in the moment is benevolent perfection in another moment. When you conform to the naturalness of the universe, you cooperate with this all-creating power that flows through you. Suspend ego-driven plans and instead participate in the power that created you. Allow it to be the guiding force in your life. Here's what Lao Tzu says to you through me from this 2,500-year-old perspective in this verse of the Tao Te Ching. First, change your life by actively observing nature's way. See how thunderstorms or fierce winds are temporary conditions that pass, instead of thinking of them as destructive or inconvenient events. When what seems like a forceful, uncomfortable situation arises, seek the natural cycle. Affirm, this is a temporary setback. I am going to release myself from having to be the person in control. Then observe what you're feeling, with openness to what is, in this moment. Remember that this is nature's method. Center your mind in a natural way, in perfect rapport with the patience of the universal Tao. And secondly, change your life by trusting your ability to respond naturally to the circumstances in your life. At first, this may involve observing yourself in a friendly way instead of responding immediately. When you feel your inclination to make your opinion known, let this urge silently tell you what it truly wants. Your body knows how to be at peace and wait out the storms of life. But you need to allow it to feel that you're welcoming in its signals. Be still and allow yourself to be in harmony with the creative Tao, opening yourself to its power. T.S. Eliot evokes the natural cycle in his poem Ash Wednesday. Quote, because I know that time is always time, and place is always and only place, and what is actual only for one time and only for one place, I rejoice that things are as they are. Unquote. That's the idea. Rejoice in the stillness of the Tao. Do the Tao now. Spend an entire day noticing nature and the countless instances that it cycles organically. Seek at least three ways that you'd like to be more natural in your response to life. The cat curling languidly in the sun might symbolize how you'd like to be, or perhaps it's the dawn slowly illuminating the dark without rushing. Maybe you prefer to focus on the tide comfortably coming in and out, apparently without judgment. Find your symbolic images, whatever they may be, and invite their counterparts in the Tao to blossom within you. The 24th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, if you stand on tiptoe, you cannot stand firmly. If you take long steps, you cannot walk far. Showing off does not reveal enlightenment. Boasting will not produce accomplishment. He who is self-righteous is not respected. He who brags will not endure. All these ways of acting are odious, distasteful. They are superfluous excesses. They are like a pain in the stomach, a tumor in the body. When walking the path of the Tao, this is the very stuff that must be uprooted, thrown out, and left behind. Unquote. Living without excess. In this verse, Lao Tzu advises that the path of the Tao needs to be cleared of any weeds of excessive personal importance. After all, accomplishments derive from the all-creating source that Lao Tzu calls the Tao. Everything that you see, touch, or own is a gift from the Tao. Thus, it is your duty to suspend your ego and seek an attitude of gratitude and generosity for the Tao's creativity. In this way, you walk the path of the Tao by becoming like it is, which is always existing in a state of unlimited giving. It is to this state that the 24th verse of the Tao Te Ching urges you to return. Notice how the natural flow of the Tao operates. It asks nothing of you as it provides you and everyone else with unlimited supplies of food, air, water, sunshine, land, and beauty. It is always creating for the benefit of all, and it has no need for prideful boasting or demanding something in return. This poem by Hafiz, the great Sufi poet, bears repeating here to illustrate this point. Quote, even after all this time, the sun never says to the earth, you owe me. Look what happens with a love like that. It lights the whole sky. Unquote. The sun symbolizes the Tao at work. It offers its warmth, light, and life-giving energy to all, illuminating the globe without any demand for recognition. Imagine if the sun needed attention and demanded accolades for its efforts. It would shine only when it felt most appreciated, or when it received payment for that life-giving energy. Soon the world would be partially shut off from the sun's magnificence, and ultimately the entire planet would be covered in darkness as wars erupt over ways of appeasing the sun god. It's easy to see why Lao Tzu refers to such inclinations to be boastful and self-righteous as odious and akin to a tumor in the body. Walk the path of the Tao by being a giver rather than a taker, providing for others and asking nothing in return. Then view your desires to brag and seek approval as weeds appearing on your journey. Seeing yourself as important and special because of your artistic talents, for instance, is walking the path of ego. Walking the path of the Tao means that you express appreciation for the hands that allow you to create a sculpture. This is how Lao Tzu advises you to walk the path of the Tao, free of your ego-driven desires to be recognized for all of your efforts and accomplishments. First, change your life by consciously choosing to be in a state of gratitude. The journey of your life will change when you emphasize gratitude for all that you are, all that you accomplish, and all that you receive. Practice silently repeating, "I thank you," throughout your waking hours and as you fall asleep and awaken. It really doesn't matter whether you're thanking God, Spirit, Allah, the Tao, Krishna, Buddha, the Source, or Self, because all those names represent the great wisdom traditions. Give thanks for the sunshine, the rain, and your body, including all of its components. Have a brain, heart, liver, and even a toenail appreciation day. Your practice of gratitude helps you focus on the real source of everything, as well as notice when you're letting ego dominate. Make this a silent daily practice. Give thanks for the bed, the sheets, the pillows, and the room you sleep in at night, and in the morning, say, "I thank you for what lies ahead." Then begin this beautiful day doing something kind for another human being someplace on the planet. And secondly, change your life by examining your urge to boast and be self-righteous. When you're about to brag to others about your credentials, your accomplishments, momentarily sense the urge and recall Lao Tzu's advice that this is the very stuff that must be uprooted, thrown out, and left behind. On the Tao path, inner approval is healthy and pure, while self-righteous boasting is simply superfluous. When you notice your gloating habit, you can choose to get back on the Tao path by remembering this 24th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Pomposity and self-inflating comments can then be seen as weeds you really have no need for. By returning to radical humility and seeing the greatness within everyone, you've then cleared your life of the excessive self-importance. And this is the way of the Tao. Do the Tao now. Tomorrow morning, do something expressing your kindness to someone who will be totally surprised by your actions. Email someone expressing your love and appreciation. Call a grandparent who may be feeling lonely in an assisted living facility. Send flowers to a loved one who's alone, or even a stranger if necessary. Note how your gratitude for another truly nurtures your Tao path, not that of your ego. It's a great way to start. The 25th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, "There was something formless and perfect before the universe was born. It is serene, empty, solitary, unchanging, infinite, eternally present. It is the mother of the universe. For lack of a better name, I call it the Tao. I call it great. Great is boundless. Boundless is eternally flowing. Ever flowing, it is constantly returning. Therefore, the way is great. Heaven is great. Earth is great. People are great. Thus, to know humanity, understand earth. To know earth, understand heaven. To know heaven, understand the way. To know the way, understand the great within yourself." Unquote. Living from greatness. Many of the scholars who have written about the Tao Te Ching over the centuries consider this 25th verse to be one of the most significant lessons in the entire manuscript. In my research, all the translations of this passage actually include the word great to describe it. This verse tells the story that even before the beginning there existed something formless and perfect. It goes on to say that this formless perfection is the mother of the universe. Even though it's nameless, it's called the Tao, and it's synonymous with what is great. That is, there's nothing within the Tao that is the opposite of great. There's nothing that's puny, insignificant, weak, unimportant, or even average. The story appears to want the reader to realize there's a pure, timeless energy that's within everything on the planet and that remains uncontaminated by the solid appearance of form. The conclusion is a directive to the student who is you, the reader, or the listener. To know this formless perfection, you must understand the great within yourself. You're the central character in this wonderful saga. Since you're animated by the eternal Tao, this tale's message of greatness invites you to change the way you live and to see the life you're living change. You can begin to do so by examining thoughts and ideas that are inconsistent with this phenomenal observation made by Lao Tzu, which has been echoed by others throughout history. In her book, The Journey, which was published in 1954, Lillian Smith describes it like this, quote, "The need that one feels every day of one's life, even though one does not acknowledge it, to be related to something bigger than oneself, something more alive than oneself, something older and something not yet born that will endure through time," unquote. That enduring something confirms your greatness, your absolute connection to the infinite. There's a sense of being permanently aligned with a sort of senior partner that is greatness itself. Lao Tzu advises you to notice the planet, its people, and the heavens, and see greatness. Next, look at yourself and see that you're a component of them all. That is, befriend what appears to be the great mystery of creation by discovering the greatness within you. Then bask in the joy of noting the greatness you share with heaven, earth, and all of its people. By persistently hanging on to your own greatness heritage, you ensure that the always-present Tao is consciously available. From a perspective of greatness, only greatness can emerge from you. From an inner perspective of inferiority, you only attract events that align with those beliefs. Your greatness won't be found in a classroom, an apprenticeship, a teacher, or flattering comments from well-meaning family members, friends, or even lovers. It's within you. It's crucial for you to become conscious of the greatness that constantly flows through you. To do so, meet it in meditative moments of gratitude and cease to be influenced by contrary points of view. In particular, watch and listen for the critical comments that originate from your own inner dialogue. When such thoughts emerge in your mind, let them tell you what they want. If you allow those not-so-great notions to speak, you'll always discover that what they really want is to feel good. Give them the time they need to trust that there's no payoff for their existence, and they will happily merge into the greatness within you. Accessing this quality allows you to participate in the greater whole, where the power of the Tao flows unimpeded by fearful self-judgment. Change the way you live by tapping into this greatness, and the life you're living will literally change. Following are the thoughts that Lao Tzu would have you adopt as he wrote out this verse of the Tao Te Ching some 25 centuries ago. First and foremost, trust in your own greatness. You are not this body you occupy, which is temporarily on its way back to the nowhere from which it came. You are pure greatness, precisely the very same greatness that creates all of life. Keep this thought uppermost in your mind, and you'll attract to yourself these same powers of creation. The right people will appear. The exact events that you desire will transpire. The financing will show up. That's because greatness attracts more of its own self to itself, just as thoughts of inadequacy act upon a belief that ensures that deficiency will become your reality. Affirm the following to yourself over and over until it becomes your automatic inner response to the world. I come from greatness. I attract greatness. I am greatness. And secondly, look for beliefs that contradict your status as a being of greatness. Catch yourself in the midst of any utterance that reflects your belief that you're average. Silently speak warmly to that belief and ask what it wants. It may think it has to protect you from disappointment or pain, as it probably did earlier in your existence. But with continued accepting attention, the feeling will always eventually admit that it wants to feel great. So let it. You're good enough to withstand the passing disappointments and pain that afflict life on this planet. But trying to protect yourself by believing that you don't embody greatness is overkill. Look for these misbeliefs and give them the chance to transform to what they and you really want. Whatever you desire to become or attract to yourself, make the internal shift from "it probably won't happen for me" to "it's on its way." Then begin the process of looking for even minute evidence that what you desire is indeed on its way. It's crucial to keep this ancient axiom in mind. I get what I think about, whether I want it or not. So think about how fortunate you are to have greatness located within yourself. Now you can live the ultimate paradox. You can be greatness and be nobody simultaneously. Do the Tao now. Copy the following words and apply them to yourself. I came from greatness. I must be like what I came from. I will never abandon my belief in my greatness and the greatness of others. Read these words daily, perhaps by posting them conspicuously where you can see them. They will serve to remind you of the truth of your own greatness. Meditate for 10 minutes today, focusing on your inner greatness. The 26th verse of the Tao Te Ching, quote, "The heavy is the root of the light. The still is the master of unrest." Realizing this, the successful person is poised and centered in the midst of all activities. Although surrounded by opulence, he is not swayed. Why should the lord of the country flit about like a fool? If you let yourself be blown to and fro, you lose touch with your root. To be restless is to lose one's self-mastery. Unquote. Living calmly. In this chapter of the Tao Te Ching, you're being advised to maintain a sense of serenity regardless of what you may see taking place around you. Moreover, you're being told that the true master knows that the ability to stay calm is always located within. From this perspective, there's no need to assign responsibility to others for how you feel. Even though you may live in a world where blame and fault-finding are endemic, you will own your feelings and actions. You will know that circumstances don't determine your state of mind, for that power rests with you. When you maintain a peaceful inner posture, even in the midst of chaos, you change your life. The wisdom of this verse of the Tao Te Ching prompts you to know that you have a choice. Do you want to be in a state of confusion or to have a tranquil inner landscape? It's up to you. Armed with this insight, the Tao Master doesn't allow an external event to be a disturbance. Lao Tzu tells you that assigning blame for your lack of calmness will never bring you to the state of being that you're striving to attain. Self-mastery only blossoms when you practice being aware of and responsible for what you're feeling. This particular part of the Tao Te Ching is one that you'll probably want to immerse yourself in repeatedly. After all, what could be better than the freedom of going through life without feeling that people and circumstances control you without your permission? Are you depressed, irritated, frustrated, exhilarated, ecstatically in love? Whatever your current state, if you believe that a changing economic picture or a tapestry of events taking place around you is responsible, and you then just use these external factors to explain your inner state of mind, you've lost touch with your root. Why? Because you're allowing yourself to be blown to and fro by the shifting winds of circumstances. The solution for a life of unrest is choosing stillness. The quiet of the Tao is oblivious to any turmoil in the world of the 10,000 things. Be like the Tao, advises Lao Tzu. The still is the master of unrest. You have a choice in every moment, so you can decide to be a host to God and carry around with you the calmness that is the Tao, or you can be a hostage to your ego, which insists that you can't really help feeling disorderly when you're in circumstances that resemble pandemonium. Here's what Lao Tzu offers you in this profoundly simple message from the profoundly simple life he chose 2,500 years before yours. First, vow to seek a calmer inner response to the circumstances of your life. In the midst of any kind of unrest, be it an argument, a traffic jam, a monetary crisis, or anything at all, make the immediate decision that you will find the calm center of yourself. By not thinking of what is taking place and instead taking a few deep breaths in which you opt to empty your mind of judgments, it becomes impossible to mentally flit about like a fool. You have the innate ability to choose calmness in the face of situations that drive others to madness. Your willingness to do so, especially when chaos and anger have been your previous choices, puts you in touch with the master of unrest. There was a time when I thought this was impossible. Now I know that even in the most troublesome of times, my reaction is to choose stillness, the way of the Tao. And secondly, don't lose touch with your root. With a written declaration or picture placed strategically in your home and workplace, remind yourself that no one can make you lose touch with your root without your consent. Affirm the following often. I have the ability to stay poised and centered regardless of what goes before me. Then vow to put this new way of being into practice the next time a situation of unrest crops up. Do the mental work in advance, and you'll achieve the self-mastery that Lao Tzu refers to in this verse. More significantly, you'll be in harmony with the Tao, which is your ultimate calling. Do the Tao now. Sit in a quiet place and picture the one person with whom you have some kind of long-standing conflict sitting there before you. Now say out loud directly to him or her, I forgive you. I surround you with love and light, and I do the same for myself. This will put the message of the 26th verse of the Tao Te Ching to work for you by bringing about a sense of calm in what previously looked like chaos. The 27th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, A knower of the truth travels without leaving a trace, speaks without causing harm, gives without keeping an account. The door he shuts, though having no lock, cannot be opened. The knot he ties, though using no cord, cannot be undone. Be wise and help all beings impartially, abandoning none. Waste no opportunities. This is called following the light. What is a good man but a bad man's teacher? What is a bad man but a good man's job? If the teacher is not respected and the student not cared for, confusion will arise, however clever one is. This is the great secret. Unquote. Living by your inner light. For just a moment, imagine your most valuable possessions, including a large cachet of money, on a table in your bedroom and in full view of anyone who might come in. Now further imagine that your pile of precious jewelry, cash, and important documents is completely safe. There's no need for insurance, and no one could ever possibly steal your treasure. Is this state of complete trust possible? I think so, especially since it's encouraged in this 27th verse of the Tao Te Ching. The door, says Lao Tzu, though having no lock, cannot be opened. The knower of the truth lives by an inner light. This illumination shines on the fact that stealing isn't the way of truth, so it's unnecessary to lock anything up. Possessions are safe among those who live by an inner light, which reflects the perfection of the Tao. It's the source you're encouraged to always carry with you and to consult when you feel the need for assistance or direction. Lao Tzu advises you to give without keeping an account or expecting something in return, for this is the nature of the Tao, and you are of the Tao. Giving is synonymous with receiving when you live by this illumination. Trust the inner light to guide you, for it is your heritage. Your origin is more from the Tao than from parents, culture, or country. It's also important that you live more spontaneously. You don't need to neatly wrap up each detail of your life. Understand this, and you can travel without being attached to a plan that covers every possible scenario. Your inner light is more trustworthy than any guidebook, and it will point you in the direction that's most beneficial to you and everyone you encounter. When you develop a trust in the Tao, you'll change the way you look at life. You'll marvel at the brilliance and clarity of what you begin to see. Fear, anxiety, stress, and unrest will simply become facets of yourself seen in the glow of the Tao, like candles marking your way and helping you love everyone as a piece of yourself. Lao Tzu advises you to be wise and help all beings impartially, abandoning none. That is, you don't need anyone else's rules in order to reach out to others. Giving of yourself becomes your natural response because you're following the inner light of the Tao. You and giving are one. You and receiving are one. In such an arrangement, there is no one who is not you. The most revealing lines of this verse remind you that a good man is but a bad man's teacher, and a bad man is but a good man's job. This is an extremely empowering way to see life and eliminate stress and anger. If you perceive yourself to be a good person, then those whom you call bad, including convicted felons or enemies on the other side of the world, are your job. Try on the view that you're here to teach yourself and others in some way, and that the work is to raise the collective energy of our entire universe. Cultivate your awareness of the inner light that's within all. Be the Tao. Virtually every translation of the Tao Te Ching I've examined refers to all of us being one, and all of us needing to be there for each other. The great secret is this: waste no opportunity, abandon no one, respect the teachers, and care for the student. 2,500 years later, the Tao remains elusive to most of us because it's so infrequently practiced. Nevertheless, it must be instilled within us if we're ever to truly walk in the luminosity of the Great Way. Become a knower of the truth, as Lao Tzu advises, by forgetting the locks and chains and maps and plans. Travel without leaving a trace. Trust in the goodness that is the root of all. And rather than curse the darkness that seems so rampant, reach out with that inner light and let it shine on those who aren't seeing their own legacy in the Tao. From his ancient spiritual throne, Lao Tzu is telling you to practice in these new ways. First, trust in yourself. Develop an inner code of conduct that's based exclusively on your irreversible connection to the Tao. When you trust this wisdom that created you, you're trusting yourself. Know that nothing could ever dissuade you from your internal code of honesty, and live by this standard. If you encounter an easy opportunity to cheat, perhaps because you've been handed too much change by a hurried cashier, make the decision to be down to the penny honest. Furthermore, have faith in yourself to go on a trip with a minimal amount of planning. Allow yourself to trust in the energy of the Tao to guide you, rather than relying upon fixed plans arranged by someone else. And secondly, don't judge yourself or others. Don't criticize the behavior or appearance of those you've assessed to be bad people. Instead, switch your thoughts to something along these lines. I am my own student, and I have this opportunity to learn that I'm instructing rather than judging. I will now cease critiquing myself or any others and teach by being the Tao. If the entire world of the 10,000 things knew the simple truth that we are all one, then in my opinion, war, hostilities, confusion, and even illness would cease to exist. Why not be one individual who chooses to respect yourself and all others as teachers and as students? When you see the world as full of opportunities to help, one thought and one action at a time, you'll be living by your inner light. Once again, the great Sufi poet Hafiz speaks of this in his poem, No More Leaving. Quote, at some point, your relationship with God will become like this. Next time you meet him in the forest or on a crowded city street, there won't be any more leaving. That is, God will climb into your pocket, and you will simply just take yourself along. Unquote. Do the Tao now. Find one person labeled bad and use that opportunity to do your job. Be a teacher by reaching out and sending a loving message to him or her. Perhaps you could pass along a book, write an email or letter, or make a phone call. Just do one thing as a good person today, even if it's for a stranger living in a prison cell. He or she is your assignment right now. The 28th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, know the strength of man, but keep a woman's care. Be a valley under heaven. If you do, the constant virtue will not fade away. One will become like a child again. Know the white, keep to the black, and be the pattern of the world. To be the pattern of the world is to move constantly in the path of virtue, without erring a single step, and to return again to the infinite. One who understands splendor while holding to humility acts in accord with eternal power. To be the fountain of the world is to live the abundant life of virtue. When the unformed is formed into objects, its original qualities are lost. If you preserve your original qualities, you can govern anything. Truly, the best governor governs least. Unquote. Living virtuously. In this verse, the word virtue is synonymous with nature or the Tao. By being one with nature, the sage is in concert with the Tao and is a virtuous person in daily life. Here Lao Tzu speaks about your personal path and also a Tao-oriented way of governing others. These others could be your family members, fellow employees, business associates, friends, and even the entire process of government if you're in a political position. In fact, much of the Tao Te Ching is focused on teaching all of us how to create an administration that is in accord with these highest principles of the Tao. It is my most fervent intention to spread these teachings throughout the world in such a way as to facilitate a transformation of all of those who call themselves leaders and are destined for or presently in positions of power. Every person has the inherent capacity to spark massive changes that can lead to the tranquility, harmony, and peace that are our heritage. Lao Tzu calls this preserving our original qualities. Such qualities require the least amount of government, so it seems natural to see that we rule best by allowing our Tao nature, which rules the least, to flourish. Living virtuously is what you do when you're permitting the Tao to guide you. The advice Lao Tzu gives for doing this is contained in four distinct images in this verse. First, he says, "Be a valley under heaven," is number one. Let the river of life flow through you. As a valley beneath heaven, you're a fertile place of grace where everything is received and allowed. You might see it as the lowest area in the spectrum of the 10,000 things, or as the point where you can see all things flowing above you. In this place of humility, the constant virtue of the Tao will never fade away. For me, this means living from radical humility. So get down, if you can, to the eye level of a small child. Looking up, see if original qualities are more visible. Be like the valley under heaven, ready to embrace and tend the seeds that blow your way. Secondly, be the pattern of the world is the second image that invites you to live virtuously. See nature unspoiled by culture, as in the perfection of the uncarved block of wood. The pattern of the world, untouched by humans, is the design of the Tao. So rather than insisting on changing or resisting, you're encouraged to row your boat and your life gently down the stream. Trust the perfection of the Tao to take you merrily back to your perfect place of origination. Lao Tzu is basically saying to let go and let the Tao. Dismiss ego, which you've created, and allow yourself to be in the world by changing how you look at the world. And three, act in accord with eternal power is the third image for living virtuously. Just contemplate for a moment the idea of a fountain of the world which never fades, never ends, and is there beyond the comings and goings of the 10,000 things. This kind of power is the one to create and then retreat, to form and then to render formless. It's always there, an endless geyser gushing forth the abundant life of virtue. You are in accord with eternal power when you suspend your ego and become conscious of the Tao flowing in this fountain of you. Picture yourself pouring forth, not from your ideas of self-importance and your need for external power over others, but from a ceaseless source of good and virtue that's in harmony with your infinite nature. Change the image of yourself to a being who's in accord with eternal power, and the virtuous life you want to see will become visible. And fourth, preserve your original qualities is the fourth image of living virtuously, and one that I happen to love. Your original qualities are those that were you before there was a you. This is what Jesus meant by, quote, "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began," end quote. That's John 17:5. Imagine, if you can, what is meant by "before the world began." The original qualities Lao Tzu speaks of are the love, kindness, and beauty that defined your essence before you were formed into a particle and then a human being. In other words, living virtuously has nothing to do with obeying laws or being a good citizen or fulfilling some externally inspired idea of who you're meant to become. This insightful verse of the Tao Te Ching tells you how to live virtuously. Be a valley under heaven by being humble and allowing seeming opposites to flow through you. Be the pattern of the world by seeing the pattern of your world and living in harmony without imposing ego on others. In accord with eternal power, be a fountain of the planet by consciously pouring forth from the endless ocean of goodness and virtue that's your birthright. And preserve your original qualities by reclaiming and reacquainting yourself with the Tao essence which preceded your birth into form and is your original quality. Here's what Lao Tzu offers you from his 2,500-year-old perspective in this 28th verse of the Tao Te Ching. First, entertain the exact opposite of what you've been conditioned to believe. Instead of striving to see yourself as superior to others, perhaps choose the self-image of a valley. From this grounded, fertile, and receptive position, be willing to hear and receive. Listen intently when you're inclined to offer advice. Be a humble earth source rather than a lofty, ego-inspired person. In the last line of the 28th verse, Lao Tzu is clear on this. Truly, the best governor governs least. This isn't advice to lower your opinion of yourself, but rather to see yourself as so strongly connected to your source of being that you know and trust that you're a piece of it. And secondly, replace all negativity with love. Khalil Gibran, the spiritual Lebanese poet, once advised that, quote, "If you cannot work with love, but only with distaste, it is better that you should leave your work and sit at the gate of the temple and take alms of those who work with joy." Unquote. Actively begin the process of preserving your original qualities by being an instrument of spirit, particularly in places where you find it easy to forget your own virtuous self. And do the Tao now. Be childlike at least once a day. Deliberately select a typically stressful situation and become a valley of heaven. Play rather than work, even while you're at your job. Giggle rather than maintaining a solemn air. Be in awe for a moment or two. For example, find a spider web and just gaze at the miracle before you, a tiny little creature spinning a perfect net bigger than it is in order to catch airborne bugs for dinner. Wow! The 29th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, "Do you think you can take over the universe and improve it? I do not believe it can be done. Everything under heaven is a sacred vessel and cannot be controlled. Trying to control leads to ruin. Trying to grasp, we lose. Allow your life to unfold naturally. Know that it too is a vessel of perfection. Just as you breathe in and breathe out, there is a time for being ahead and a time for being behind, a time for being in motion, and a time for being at rest, a time for being vigorous, and a time for being exhausted, a time for being safe, and a time for being in danger. To the sage, all of life is a movement toward perfection. So what need has he for the excessive, the extravagant, or the extreme?" Unquote. Living by natural law. This verse speaks of a natural law that's unaffected by ego. The message, you're not in charge, you never have been, and you never will be. So you're advised to let go of any ideas you have about controlling anything or anyone, including yourself. It's a difficult lesson for most of us to learn. As Lao Tzu puts it in the beginning of this verse, "I do not believe it can be done." Nevertheless, here's one of the world's most famous scientific minds, Albert Einstein, commenting on this law. Quote, "The scientist's religious feelings takes the form of a rapturous amazement at the harmony of natural law, which reveals an intelligence of such superiority that, compared with it, all the systematic thinking and acting of human beings is an utterly insignificant reflection. This feeling is the guiding principle of his life and work." Unquote. It is to this feeling that I urge you to turn as you put into practice the wisdom of the 29th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Tuning into this rapturous feeling of amazement at the sacred perfection of the world helps you to realize your desire to control anything or anyone. Doing so will allow you to live in the harmony of natural law, as Einstein describes it. Lao Tzu reminds you that everything under heaven is a sacred vessel, needing no input from you. Since you're also a part of everything, you may need to change the way you look at your life and all that has transpired in it, as well as your vision of the future. Whether you agree or disagree, whether you like it or not, all of it is outside of your ego's domain. It's all unfolding according to the same natural law that causes the seasons to follow one another, the moon to look as if it rises and falls, the whales to traverse the oceans, and the birds to migrate and return without benefit of a map or human-made guidance system. When you look at your life in this way, you'll begin to see it unfolding organically. The Tao is a natural law, not some controlling force that's manipulating you. In The Tao of Philosophy, Alan Watts reminds us that Lao Tzu once said, quote, "The great Tao flows everywhere, both to the left and to the right. It loves and nourishes all things, but does not lord it over them. Unquote. The Tao is the informing principle of God, not nature's lord and master. A power-hungry and ego-dominated control freak, it's not. Feeling superior is a human creation. The Tao doesn't act as boss, forcing itself on you or anyone. It simply allows all of creation to reveal itself with perfect timing. And all that is revealed is sacred because it's a piece of the ego-free Tao. I suggest that you create some quiet time to re-listen to this verse and reflect on the sacred nature of everything in your life. Include past experiences that you've blamed for preventing you from having the abundance, health, or happiness that you've wanted and even expected. Ponder the advice that there's a time for it all. Just as you must breathe in to breathe out, you may experience what it is to be ahead by also having a being behind experience. All of those times that you felt betrayed, abandoned, abused, frightened, anxious, or incomplete, they all came about according to a natural law that also led you to feel cared for, protected, loved, comforted, and whole. There's a time for everything, including what you're experiencing today. Begin recognizing that every moment of your life is in accordance with the divine Tao. By doing so, you'll shift from judgment and perhaps anger to gratefulness for being able to feel both exhausted and rested, scared and safe, unloved and cared for. All of it is a part of the natural law. Your ego mind tries to protect you from pain by insisting that you can learn to eliminate some aspects of your life. However, the sage within you desires to be more harmonious with the perfection of the Tao. How do you allow this? Lao Tzu urges you to avoid the extremes, the excesses, and the extravagant, and know that all is unfolding perfectly, even if your thoughts tell you that it's imperfect. Those thoughts must also have their own time, and in the natural flow, they'll be replaced by new ones, which will show up on time as well. Here's what I believe this verse from Lao Tzu offers you from its 2,500-year-old perspective. First, give up needing to control. Begin a conscious program of surrendering and allowing your world and everyone in it to do as they are ordained to do. Surrendering is a mental process. It involves taking a split second to stop yourself in your mode of judgment or frustration and have a brief talk with yourself on the spot. Just remind yourself to step back and be a witness rather than a protagonist, which you can do by providing a sanctuary for the feeling you're judging. Invite divine natural order in by simply allowing what you're experiencing to go forward without criticism or control. In this way, you move to the center. Think of the need to control as a signal to allow the Tao to flow freely through your life. At first, your ego mind may loudly scoff at the idea of the Tao being responsible for the perfect unfolding of everything. It's up to you to recognize that your belief that ego can control life is an illusion. And secondly, practice recognizing that there's a time for everything. When you're in the middle of a tough moment, repeat the lines given to you by Lao Tzu. I do this in yoga practice when I feel exhausted holding a position for what seems like a too lengthy period. I remind myself that there's a time for being exhausted, and there's a time for being vigorous. This frees me immediately from my demanding ego, which is saying, you shouldn't be feeling this tired. You can do the same thing in any moment in your life. Experiences of pain, loss, fear, anger, and even hatred seem to vanish when you remember that this is a part of the perfect blossoming of natural law, and there will soon be a time for comfort, peace, and love. Apply this verse of the Tao Te Ching by creating your personalized statement when you observe things such as crime, AIDS, hunger, and war. Try something like this, quote, yes, there seems to be a time for such things, and I choose not to remain in extremes of resentment and anger. But there is also my desire to do something about these circumstances. That feeling is also a part of the natural law unfolding. I choose to act on my inner desire to rectify these conditions. By remaining internally peaceful and avoiding the extremes, I will impact the world in the same loving way that the Tao eternally manifests from love and kindness. Unquote. It's not what you see around you that keeps you connected to the Tao. It's understanding how this eternal flow works. As Ralph Waldo Emerson put it, quote, by atoms, by trifles, by sots, heaven operates. The needles are nothing. The magnetism is all. Unquote. Do the Tao now. Find a place where control is all-consuming and relinquish it today. Stifle your inclination to interfere, reminding yourself as you do so that there's a time for everything and that you're becoming more adept at observing peacefully rather than taking over. Post this advice by Naomi Long Madgett, where you can read it, and be constantly reminded of your desire to live naturally. Quote, I wouldn't coax the plant if I were you. Such watchful nurturing may do it harm. Let the soil rest from so much digging, and wait until it's dry before you water it. The leaf's inclined to find its own direction. Give it a chance to seek the sunlight for itself. Much growth is stunted by too eager prodding, too eager tenderness. The things we love, we have to learn to leave alone. Unquote. 30th verse of the Tao Te Ching. One who would guide a leader of men in the uses of life will warn him against the use of arms for conquest. Weapons often turn upon the wielder. Where armies settle, nature offers nothing but briars and thorns. After a great battle has been fought, the land is cursed. The crops fail, the earth lies stripped of its motherhood. After you have attained your purpose, you must not parade your success. You must not boast of your ability. You must not feel proud. You must rather regret that you had not been able to prevent the war. You must never think of conquering others by force. Whatever strains with force will soon decay. It's not attuned to the way. Not being attuned to the way, its end comes all too soon. Unquote. Living without force. If you were to explicitly follow the advice offered in this 30th verse of the Tao Te Ching, you'd be in a position to have a conflict-free existence. Imagine that. If our entire global population understood and lived the directives of this chapter of the Tao Te Ching, we'd finally be free of battle-related stress, along with the ravages that war has spread across our planet since we began keeping historical records. As the 29th verse wisely instructed, there's a time for everything. Could this be the time for living without force? Here's my impression of what's being offered to you in this 30th verse. Force creates a counterforce, and this exchange goes on and on until an all-out war is in progress. Once war has begun, decimation and famine result because the land cannot produce crops. Now, when you create war in your personal life, it produces a dearth of love, kindness, and joy, which leaves you and everyone around you stripped of divine motherhood. Lao Tzu is encouraging you to look for an alternative to force for settling disputes. If you can find no other option, then you're encouraged to abandon any references to yourself as winning or conquering. Force includes any use of physical or mental abuse in which the weapons of hatred and intolerance are applied. There will always be a counterforce, and what you've opted to do isn't attuned to the way. This means that you'll ultimately lose, especially when you consider that Martin Luther King Jr. once observed that the only way to convert an enemy to a friend is through love. Unfortunately, whenever force is used, resentment and ultimately revenge become the means for responding. If we're thinking in war zone terms, the killing of a large group of people designated as enemies leaves their sons and daughters growing up hating the vanquishers. Ultimately, those survivors take up weapons to exact revenge on the children of those who vanquished them. The use of force propels entire generations of people into a continuation of war, or as Lao Tzu puts it, weapons often turn upon the wielder. Thinking in alignment with the Tao applies to any conflict you may experience. When you resort to force, then disputes with your spouse, your children, your business partners, and even your neighbors will continue to intensify. That's because the great way of Tao is that of cooperation, not competition. The all-creating source is always providing, asking nothing in return, and coming from a place of sharing its inherent love. It knows that all are part of the 10,000 things, and they must cooperate with each other because they share the same origin. So whenever you're in a mode that propels you in the direction of using force, you've lost sight of your connection to the Tao. Moreover, any collection of people, such as communities or countries, who resort to weapons to get their points across are unattuned to the way. They'll leave the earth and the hearts of the people uninhabitable except to briars and thorns. Your choice concerning your commitment to practicing the Tao includes refusing to participate in any manner, be it mental or physical, in anything that violates your understanding of the advice offered in this powerful passage of the Tao Te Ching. Perhaps the easiest lesson presented here is the reminder to eschew the behaviors of boastfulness and pomposity for anything achieved by force. Remember that whatever is accomplished in such a way creates a counterforce that will ultimately result in your victory turning to a defeat. If you somehow feel that you had no other choice than to use violence to protect yourself and those you love, immediately retreat to a position that doesn't allow for bragging and self-congratulation. Vow to work on restoring a balance of love where hatred previously resided, and do all that you can to make amends for any damage that resulted from your use of force. This is the way. It has also been called wu wei, or not forcing, which means to take the line of least resistance in all of one's actions, and by doing so, create more strength. Here's what I believe you can learn and practice from Lao Tzu's advice in this 30th verse of the Tao Te Ching. First, eliminate verbal and or physical force in all situations. Examine the relationships in which you experience conflict. Make a concerted decision to use less harsh language and to completely veer away from becoming physical in the resolution of any altercation. Practice stopping thoughts of violence by shifting right in the moment to a stance of listening. Bite your tongue, stifle yourself, hold back any response at all for the time being. These are great reminders to you to become attuned to the way. Remember, any act of force will definitely produce a counterforce. So if you insist on escalating devastation, your weapons will be turned back upon you. And secondly, refuse to participate in violent actions in any way. Create distance between any form of violence and yourself. This includes listening to TV or radio reports or even perusing newspaper articles about the uses of force taking place all over the planet. See if you're justifying hearing or reading about hostile activities as a need to be fully informed. Once you know that force is being applied anywhere in the name of subjugating others, you'll realize that this constant repetition of that news makes you a participant in the violence. By refusing to allow such energy into your life, even as a passive observer, you keep yourself attuned to the way. Eventually, when enough of us are unwilling to tolerate such behavior in any form, we'll be closer to bringing an end to the use of force on our planet. Remember that every use of force, even the smallest, creates a counterforce. Here's what a great 16th century poet named St. John of the Cross advises. Quote, "You might quiet the whole world for a second if you pray, and if you love, if you really love, our guns will wilt." Unquote. Do the Tao now. In line with altering the way you look at the world today, change every television channel and radio station that presents an image or audio of the use of force or violence. Then increase that no-tolerance policy to include movies, videos, and games that have beatings, homicides, and chase scenes. The 31st verse of the Tao Te Ching, quote, "Weapons are the tools of violence. All decent men detest them. Therefore, followers of the Tao never use them. Arms serve evil. They are the tools of those who oppose wise rule. Use them only as a last resort. For peace and quiet are dearest to the decent man's heart, and to him even a victory is no cause for rejoicing. He who thinks triumph beautiful is one with a will to kill, and one with a will to kill shall never prevail upon the world. It is a good sign when man's higher nature comes forward, a bad sign when his lower nature comes forward. With the slaughter of multitudes, we have grief and sorrow. Every victory is a funeral. When you win a war, you celebrate by mourning." Unquote. Living without weapons. The 31st verse of the Tao Te Ching unequivocally states that implements of violence serve evil. Lao Tzu clearly knew that weapons designed to kill are tools of futility and should be avoided if you choose to live according to the principles of the Tao. This includes the design, production, marketing, distribution, and of course the use of weapons in the business of killing. The Tao is about life. Weapons are about death. The Tao is a creative force. Weapons are about destruction. Humanity has failed to learn this profound teaching of the Tao Te Ching, which was written when weapons consisted mainly of bows and arrows, spears, hatchets, and the like. From his position as an observer and a being of divine wisdom, Lao Tzu recognized that there's no victory in any activity where killing takes place. Why? Because all people, regardless of their geographic location or belief system, are connected to each other by their originating spirit. We all come from, retain, and return to the Tao. When we destroy each other, we're destroying our opportunity to allow the Tao to inform us, to flow freely in and through the form we're in. What appears to our ego to be a victory to celebrate is really a funeral, a time to mourn. Lao Tzu reminds us that taking pleasure in winning a battle is aligned with an ego's will to kill. The Tao has only a creative, nurturing, and loving will. On this physical plane, our highest nature expresses itself through the precepts of the Tao, while our lowest nature expresses itself by engaging in the business of killing. The written history of humankind involves wars as far back as it can go, and we measure our supposed march toward civilization by the sophistication of our weapons. We've advanced from simple spears used in close individual combat to bows and arrows that kill from a short distance, rifles and explosive devices that execute from farther away, and bombs that decimate when dropped from the air. We've reached the level where we have to invent terms like megadeath and weapons of mass destruction to describe our current ability to annihilate millions of people and other life forms with one nuclear blast. The current level of presumably enlightened sophistication means that we have the capacity to destroy all life on our planet with the weapons we've amassed. This perilous state has emerged because we've ignored the basic tenet of the Tao Te Ching, particularly as stressed in the infinite wisdom of this verse. Arms serve evil. They are the tools of those who oppose wise rule. I believe that Lao Tzu was not only speaking about physical weapons, but also non-physical behaviors that are just as destructive. These include violent words, gestures, and threats that aren't a part of humankind's higher nature. If you change the way you look at your world, you must include noticing your language and your demeanor. Do you demonstrate that you're a person who values life in all of its costumes? Are you someone who wouldn't take up any type of arms, be they physical or not, against another, unless alternative means had been exhausted? And then if forced to injure another, are you able to feel compassion for your so-called enemy? Weapons designed to kill are inconsistent with the very essence of the Tao. Thus, you must make every effort to be peaceful and harmonious with its life-giving energy. The massive proliferation of guns in our modern society is a giant step away from humankind's highest nature. So replace defending the right to own and use weapons with the Tao consciousness. Seek instead to aspire to a time when our collective human energy is elevated to such a high status that even the contemplation of killing is impossible. You can begin to do so by changing the way you look at the necessity for weapons. It begins with each and every one of us, and we can start by taking heed of what the Tao Te Ching teaches us. By making this verse your personal calling, you have the ability to save our planet from becoming a lifeless one. This is what I believe Lao Tzu is saying to you personally from his 2,500-year-old perspective. First, begin to see the use of physical or verbal weapons as unwanted responses. Change your need to defend yourself to a stance of realizing that this is evidence you're ignoring the teachings of your source of being. Refuse to consider using weapons of violence in any form by noticing your language and abolishing hatred from your vocabulary. Replace defending your right to possess and use arms with an attitude that all deaths from such instruments are signals of detachment from the wisdom of the Tao. When enough of us reach a critical mass in our thinking so that it disallows the existence of weapons, we'll be moving the direction of our world. No longer will we be able to evaluate the planet's level of civilization by the sophistication of our weapons. Instead, the measurement will be on the Tao scale of how well we're able to feed and love each other. Then being civil will authenticate the root word found in civilization. And secondly, discontinue celebrating death or violence in any form. Distance yourself from as many images of death as possible, including watching movies or TV shows that depict killing as a form of entertainment, along with news reports that emphasize the extinguishing of life. Teach your children, and any children you can, to sanctify life. Encourage them not to take pleasure in the demise of so-called enemies, terrorists, or insurgents. All of these kinds of death, be they on a battlefield or an urban street, are evidence of our collective will to kill. And don't demonstrate hatred and outrage. Rather, teach yourself and others that every victory accomplished with weapons is a funeral that should be mourned. Here are some sensitive lines from St. Thomas Aquinas, a holy man who attempted to teach us what Lao Tzu offered in this verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, how is it they live for eons in such harmony, the billions of stars? When most men can barely go a minute without declaring war in their mind against someone they know, there are wars where no one marches with a flag, though that does not keep casualties from mounting. Our hearts irrigate this earth. We are fields before each other. How can we live in harmony? First, we need to know we are all madly in love with the same God. Unquote. Do the Tao now. Today, say a private prayer today for every person you read or hear about who's a victim of killing by a weapon, no matter how distant. The 32nd verse of the Tao Te Ching, quote, the eternal Tao has no name. Although simple and subtle, no one in the world can master it. If kings and lords could harness them, the 10,000 things would naturally obey. Heaven and earth would rejoice with the dripping of sweet dew. Everyone would live in harmony, not by official decree, but by their own goodness. Once the whole is divided, the parts need names. There are already enough names. Know when to stop. Know when reason sets limits to avoid peril. Rivers and streams are born of the ocean, and all creation is born of the Tao. Just as all water flows back to become the ocean, all creation flows back to become the Tao. Unquote. Living the perfect goodness of the Tao. In this verse, Lao Tzu describes the ecstasy of being truly on the same page as your source. What you might describe as open-heartedness or joy is the simple and subtle flow of the Tao energy that's responsible for all of life, and no effort on your part is necessary. Lao Tzu opens this verse with a reminder that no one, not you, not me, or even the most powerful king or dictator, can rein in or master this force known as the Tao. If it were under our control, then all of nature and its 10,000 things would celebrate because we'd live in peace and harmony. When we're able to live and breathe the perfect goodness that is the Tao, wars, famine, conflict, and other negative human creations cease to exist. The challenge presented in this 32nd verse of the Tao Te Ching is how to live in our physical world in unison with the eternal, always molding and always creating Tao. Look at what you desire to bring into your life. Then, in the context of this sweet verse, feel grateful for everything you encounter. Express gratitude by riding the flow of your existence and allowing it to be your ally. You can steer while still enjoying this glorious ride, but if you elect to fight it, you'll ultimately get pulled under by its current. This is true for every aspect of your life. The more you push against it, the more resistance you create. Be aware of anything that's directing you toward activities that truly ignite your passion. If events seem to be taking you in a new direction in your work, for instance, or signs point to changing your job or location, pay attention. Don't get pulled under by refusing to budge and continue a familiar, frustrating routine and then justifying your fear of change. Recognize the Tao energy coursing through your life and quit fighting your calling. I watch my young son on a surfboard here each day of the summer on Maui. He loves the thrilling ride as he accelerates by going with the wave. He's not attempting to control it by prolonging it or forcing it to move in a different direction. I use this as a metaphor for my life, for I write in the flow. I allow thoughts and ideas to come in and move onto the page. I allow myself to be carried by the great wave of the Tao in all of my decisions, which bring me peace. That's because I trust in the perfect goodness of the Tao to guide me, direct me, and take me where it will. You and I are like the rivers and streams that Lao Tzu mentions in this verse. We were born of the Tao, our source of being, and we're returning to the Tao. The return trip is inevitable. It can't be stopped. So watch your body as it goes through its changes, noting that it does so in the same way that the rivers head down to the ocean to reemerge and become one with it. Lao Tzu urges you to know when to stop driving yourself, advising you to instead jump into the oneness and avoid all manner of difficulties that he calls your peril. Flow with the Tao in everything you do. Give up the need to be in charge, which is just your ego working overtime. You cannot force the Tao. Let it carry you by relaxing into it with trust and faith. As you ride this glorious wave of the Tao, consider this advice from Alan Watts in Tao, The Watercourse Way. Quote, let your ears hear whatever they want to hear. Let your eyes see whatever they want to see. Let your mind think whatever it wants to think. Let your lungs breathe in their own rhythm. Do not expect any special result, for in this wordless and idealless state, where can there be past or future, and where any notion of purpose? Unquote. Just stop and look, and just listen right now before you even go on listening. Get in the perfect goodness of the Tao right now, in your business, in your relationships, in your career, in your everything. Stop, listen for your passion, and then allow yourself to be taken by the ceaseless tide of all creation, which continues in spite of your ego's opinions. Here's what Lao Tzu seems to be saying to you, through me, about implementing the ideas of this 32nd verse of the Tao Te Ching. First, he seems to be saying, pay attention to the flow of your life. Remind yourself that you don't have to be in charge, that in fact it's impossible for you to be in charge. The nameless force, which Lao Tzu calls the Tao, moves everything. So your continual argument with it only causes dissatisfaction. Each day, practice letting go and seeing where you're directed. Take note of who shows up and when. Observe the strange coincidences that seem to collaborate with fate and in some way steer you in a new direction. Keep track of situations that occur spontaneously or out of the realm of your control. And second, look for a new joyous feeling within you. As you move in the direction of loosening the leash, so to speak, you'll become keenly aware of the exhilaration of the Tao flowing through you. Begin to see what passions are stirred up as you allow the ride to be directed by your source rather than ego. These joyous feelings are clues that you're beginning to harmonize with what Lao Tzu calls your own goodness. Your enthusiastic inner receptivity is your reminder that all is perfect, so trust that energy. Do the Tao now. Pick a time today, perhaps between noon and four, to consciously free your mind from attempting to control the events of your life. Go for a walk and simply let yourself be carried along. Let your feet go where they will. Observe everything in your line of vision. Notice your breath, the sounds you hear, the wind, the cloud formations, the humidity, the temperature, everything. Simply let yourself be immersed and transported, and notice how it feels to just go with the flow. Now decide to let freedom be your guide. Realize that traffic, the people in your life, the stock exchange, the weather, the tides, all of it is taking place at its own pace, in its own way. You can move with the eternal perfect Tao as well. Just be it. Be it now. The 33rd verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, one who understands others has knowledge. One who understands himself has wisdom. Mastering others requires force. Mastering the self needs strength. If you realize that you have enough, you are truly rich. One who gives himself to his position surely lives long. One who gives himself to the Tao surely lives forever. Unquote. Living self-mastery. In our contemporary world, an educated person is generally thought of as someone with several diplomas who's in a position to intelligently discuss all manner of topics, particularly in the academic field. In addition to amassing scholastic credits, highly learned people often understand and reach out to help others. In fact, they seem to possess the ability to effectively read other people. These individuals' power and status tend to increase in proportion to the number of men and women they oversee, such as with the president of a university, a CEO of a business, or a general of an army. In this 33rd verse of the Tao Te Ching, Lao Tzu is asking you to change the way you look at these twin ideas of knowledge and power. You're invited to evaluate your level of self-mastery by turning your gaze inward and seeing the world and your place in it in a new light. A Tao-oriented life focuses on understanding yourself rather than on the thinking and behaviors of others. You shift from the acquisition of information and the pursuit of status symbols to understanding and mastering yourself in any and all situations. Power over others is replaced with an inner strength that empowers you to behave from a wisdom that is inherently the Tao. As you modify your thinking, your world will undergo pleasantly dramatic changes. For example, as you realize that you are responsible for your reactions in any given moment, others will cease to have any power or control over you. Rather than worrying, "Why is that person behaving that way and making me feel so upset?" you can see the situation as an invitation to explore yourself from a new attitude of total self-mastery. Your inward exploration allows you to permit the flow of inner responses, examining them with tolerance directed towards yourself. By seeking your stream of thoughts and simply going with them, the conduct of that other person instantly loses its potency. You begin seeing your world suffused with the harmony of the Tao eternally and internally flowing through you. In any situation, whether it be under the heading of family, work, or social, or even just seeing the atrocities reported on the evening news, you'll become aware that there's no they who have power over you. By refusing to turn the controls of your existence over to anyone or any set of circumstances, you're exercising personal strength instead of force. You are indeed experiencing self-mastery, and this new state of internal control has come about because you've elected to live in accordance with the Tao. You don't need the approval of others or another possession in order to be happy. You must merely understand yourself as a divine piece of the eternal Tao, always connected to that infinite essence. Lao Tzu equates the ability to look within for the source of enlightenment and strength with eternal life. He reminds you that while externals such as knowledge and the power over others may provide a long life, shifting to being in charge of yourself offers imperishable wisdom and a ticket to immortality. Here's what this great master wants you to take from this verse of the Tao Te Ching and apply to your world. First, focus on understanding yourself instead of blaming others. Whenever you're anxious, in pain, or even mildly upset over the conduct of others, take the focus off of those you're holding responsible for your inner distress. Shift your mental energy to allowing yourself to be with whatever you're feeling. Let the Tao flow freely without blaming others for your feelings. And don't blame yourself either. Just allow the Tao to unfold. Tell yourself that no one has the power to make you uneasy without your consent, and that you're unwilling to grant that authority to this person right now. But you are willing to freely experience your emotions without calling them wrong or needing to chase them away. Flow in the Tao now. In this way, with this simple exercise, at the moment of your dis-ease, you've made a shift to self-mastery. It's important to bypass blame and even your desire to understand the other person. Instead, focus on understanding yourself by taking responsibility for how you choose to respond to anything or anyone. You're aligning yourself with the Tao. Change the way you choose to perceive the power that others have over you, and you will see a bright new world of unlimited potential for yourself. And secondly, cultivate your desire for others to discover the Tao in their lives. Dismiss any desire to extend power over others through the forceful nature of your actions and your personality. Ego believes that others are incapable of running their own lives and wants to control with force. So demonstrate your inner strength by abandoning such tactics. Catch yourself as you're about to tell others how they should be. Use the opportunity, instead, to practice allowing them to learn their own lessons without interference from you. Notice how often you attempt to use verbal force to convince others to listen to you. Remind yourself to remain quiet and send loving energy. Practice this kind of self-mastery, even though it's rare in today's world. You are strong enough to trust the Tao. When your judgments dominate, the flow of the Tao slows. See how the world truly changes right before your eyes when you sincerely desire that others follow their own life path, which will lead them to realize the greatness of the Tao. All those formerly perceived as needing you to tell them what to do or how to live are also the same as you are in the Tao's wisdom and strength. Do the Tao now. Today, practice experiencing the unfolding of the Tao with someone who usually causes you distress. Consciously initiate a conversation with that in-law, ex-spouse, bullying co-worker, or family member, inviting the Tao to flow freely. Notice how what and where you feel remain warmly and tolerantly in touch with the sensations within your body. You've entered the space of self-mastery in this moment. Here's what A Course in Miracles offers on this verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, "This is the only thing that you need to do for vision, happiness, and release from pain. Say only this, but mean it with no reservations. I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience. The 34th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, "The Great Way is universal. It can apply to the left or the right. All beings depend on it for life. Even so, it does not take possession of them. It accomplishes its purpose, but makes no claim for itself. It covers all creatures like the sky, but does not dominate them. All things return to it as to their home, but it does not lord it over them. Thus it may be called great. The sage imitates this conduct. By not claiming greatness, the sage achieves greatness." Unquote. Living the Great Way. In this verse, Lao Tzu asks you to reevaluate your perception of greatness. Typical definitions tend to center around the amount of fame and fortune that an individual accumulates in his or her lifetime. As the previous verse emphasized, the power to dominate and control others can also be used as a benchmark of this quality. Commanders of huge armies and heads of state who attract worldwide attention are considered great. Yet great men or women are often thought of as having been instrumental in affecting the course of human events in a positive way, making the world a better place on either a local or a global level. Greatness, then, is a claim made by or for individuals who stand out from the crowd. Verse 34 of the Tao Te Ching describes greatness in an entirely different manner. Such a quality is the Tao, which is so all-encompassing that every plant, creature, and human originates and lives because of it, yet it doesn't seek to dominate anyone or anything. The Tao doesn't ask for recognition of any kind, for it has no interest in fame or being thanked for all that it provides. It is this indifference towards notoriety that makes true greatness. When you change the way you think about this quality, you'll see your world in an entirely new way. You'll no longer be gauging appearances and accumulations, and you won't notice how much power you or anyone else uses to exact dominance or control over others. Rather, your new way of thinking will allow you to look for the unfolding of the Tao in everyone you see. Perhaps for the very first time, you'll notice greatness in others as well as yourself in terms of the Tao that includes all. You'll be able to look at the sky and see its greatness and grandness, which demands absolutely nothing in return. As you change your enculturated view of greatness, you'll begin seeing a different world. You'll see the importance of everyone, including those individuals you've previously identified as difficult or unreasonable. You'll begin to see that the holiness that ferments the galaxies is working in you, in me, and in everyone. You'll begin to trust that greatness is every person's heritage. The Tao is everywhere. Therefore, this quality will be visible in all things and all people. Here are my suggestions for applying this 34th verse of the Tao Te Ching to your everyday life. First, discontinue deciding what anyone else should or shouldn't be doing. Avoid thoughts and activities that involve telling people who are perfectly capable of making their own choices what to do. In your family, remember that you do not own anyone. The poet Khalil Gibran reminds you, quote, "Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you." Unquote. This is always true. In fact, disregard any inclination to dominate in all of your relationships. Listen rather than expound. Pay attention to yourself when you're having judgmental opinions and see where self-attention takes you. When you replace an ownership mentality with one of allowing, you'll begin to see the true unfolding of the Tao in yourself and other people. From that moment on, you'll be free of frustration with those who don't behave according to your ego-dominated expectations. And two, discover a new definition of greatness. Offer yourself a definition that doesn't use any standards of appearance or traditional external measures of success. Notice those who give much, boast little, nurture others, and decline recognition or credit, and put them in your greatness file. Encourage yourself to practice these same kinds of behaviors. Begin noticing how the Tao is always flowing in an all-providing, no-boasting, non-demanding, non-possessing manner. Can you see how truly great that is? There are many people in your daily life doing just that. Seek them out and acknowledge them while quietly emulating what they do. Remember that a great sage never claims ownership of greatness. So that when you change your definition, you'll see that quality cropping up everywhere, especially within yourself. Do the Tao now. Make a decision to spend a day seeking out several people who fit the model of this verse of the Tao Te Ching. Silently convey to them that you sense their greatness as an unfolding of the Tao. Then notice how your interactions with them differ when you're not making judgments based on their age, their sex, their title, their conduct, their manner of dress, their height, their weight, their skin color, their religious affiliation, or their political beliefs. The 35th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, all men will come to him who keeps to the one. They flock to him and receive no harm, for in him they find peace, security, and happiness. Music and dining are passing pleasures, yet they cause people to stop. How bland and insipid are the things of this world when one compares them to the Tao. When you look for it, there's nothing to see. When you listen for it, there's nothing to hear. When you use it, it cannot be exhausted. Unquote. Living beyond worldly pleasures. Take a few moments before listening to the rest of this chapter and ask yourself the following question. When I think of pleasure, what activities really come to mind? And how do I distinguish between what I find enjoyable and what I don't? Generally, pleasure is described as something experienced by the senses and available here in the world of form. Perhaps you experience it in a sumptuous meal, in your favorite music, or on the golf course. But it's most certainly a welcome, motivating force for you. Problems can occur, however, when such pursuits become the primary focus of life. In other words, an emphasis on worldly pleasures can quite easily create an imbalance in your system, leading to upset and disease. Obesity, eating disorders, drug and alcohol abuse, addictions of every description, and preoccupation with plastic surgery are just a few of the undesirable results. Most everything defined as pleasurable is temporary, so if you need more and more of it, then it has a grip on you. What you desire so strongly has become your jailer, trapping you into believing that it will bring you peace, security, or happiness. But it never does. Worldly pleasures only seduce you into becoming dependent upon them, and they leave you always wanting more. It's a craving that can never be satisfied. You need another great meal in order to have that pleasure again because it vanished almost immediately upon the completion of your dessert. You need to keep the music playing because when it stops, your enjoyment stops also. All addictions scream out this depressing message. You'll never get enough of what you don't want. Contrast this bleak picture of pleasure, which Lao Tzu calls bland and insipid, with the ecstasy of the Tao. Just for a moment, imagine having the perspective of the Tao as you listen to this verse, and see if you can change the way you look at this idea of pleasure. The benefits of having a concept that harmonizes with the Tao are outlined in the opening lines. All people will flock to you, and they'll find peace, security, and happiness when they do. The reason why they'll discover these three jewels is because you exude such qualities yourself. Your emphasis is on the Tao. It's who you are and therefore what you have to give away. You are now changing the way you look at things, so your idea of pleasure shifts beyond the worldly nudges of your senses. You taste your food, but you're in awe of the magic that produced the delectables you're eating, as well as the perfection of this incredible cycle that continues in the elimination and reuse of what you've consumed. The constant behind this ever-changing world becomes your new source of pleasure, expressed in the wonder and bewilderment you feel. Yes, of course you continue to enjoy your meals, but your pleasure is in being at one with what allows it all to transpire in the first place. You know that you can't find, hear, or see, or touch the source, yet it's always available and can never be depleted. The music that you hear isn't the Tao. The Tao is the invisible energy that fills the empty spaces that gives you so much joy. And that happiness you feel is the eternally available and longed-for pleasure of transcending the physical limitations of a human body. Touching the Tao is way beyond any of the sensory pleasures that we somehow believe will satisfy that longing for transcendence. Addictions become impossible because you're no longer trying to get worldly pursuits to satisfy you. It's like realizing that you can fly when you've been walking faster and faster, but never getting enough speed or altitude. You kept trying to satisfy a natural longing to be aloft through the pleasure of rapid walking. Now you observe the way nature flows. You clearly see it never asking for more, never using up more, and absolutely never demanding that it be provided with more than is necessary to maintain a perfect balance. The realm of passing pleasures is no longer your central place of self-identification. You're at peace, feeling secure and happy because you've changed your worldview to include the infinite Tao. How could addictions ever compare to this? Imagine a heroin addict believing that peace, security, and happiness are available with an inexhaustible supply of opiates. That scenario is impossible because the pleasure that drugs brings lasts but a few seconds, and then the opposite of peace, security, and happiness clicks in. The addict keeps trying to fly by running faster. Ultimately, he comes to despise his life and destroy himself in the process. Such is the destiny of those who seek the pleasures of the world of the senses to fulfill their longing and natural ability to transcend the physical plane. Here's what Lao Tzu is offering you in this profound verse of the Tao Te Ching. First, notice the eternal bliss that's always with you, even when the delicacies are out of sight. Change your way of thinking of yourself as a totally physical being, instead recognizing that worldly pleasures that tend to be overdone are attempts to transcend the physical, which isn't going to happen without tapping into your natural connection to the Tao. Stop equating sensory delight with the Tao-inspired bliss that's available to you every moment. Enjoy all that you experience through the senses. Love your fine dining, bask in the melodies of your favorite music, and be appreciative of the excitement of sexual energy. But notice that this is all coming from your sensory self, which is happily adaptable to this world. Then seek your Tao self, which transcends the physical, and explore its pleasures. Re-examine what true, lasting enjoyment is. Even though the effects of the Tao may initially have no appeal to your seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, and smelling faculties, they'll fulfill the longing you're trying to sate with worldly pursuits. When you're chasing any passing fancy, begin recognizing its value in the here and now, but stop trying to get it to satisfy a greater longing. And second, introduce transcendent thankfulness to your everyday life. Make it a daily practice to give thanks for the presence of the eternal Tao that's always with you. From an appreciative viewpoint, the world that you formerly desired will begin to look different. In this grateful Tao awareness, feelings of being incomplete when worldly pleasures are unavailable are replaced with a transcendent thankfulness. What used to be a need for a worldly delight is replaced with gratitude and contentment for being aware of the aspect of you that is the Tao, free of physical and earthly limitations and confinement. Living with conscious appreciation of the Tao will attract more people and experiences, enriching your balance of mortal and eternal awareness. Open yourself to the unlimited love and abundance of the Tao, and you'll attract more of that same love and abundance to you. Your world has changed because you see the Tao where you previously only noticed your mortal self needing worldly pleasures. Do the Tao now. Go on a 24-hour fast. When you feel hunger pangs, switch your thoughts to gratitude for the eternal force that's always with you. Warmly let your physical self know that it will be fed when the fast is over, then switch to the Tao self that's unaware of hunger. Enjoy the different nature of the Tao self by concentrating on locating its energy flowing through your body. It will reveal itself, perhaps as contented, exhilarated, or blissful. Note the difference between how this feels compared with worldly pleasures. The 36th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, should you want to contain something, you must deliberately let it expand. Should you want to weaken something, you must deliberately let it grow strong. Should you want to eliminate something, you must deliberately allow it to flourish. Should you want to take something away, you must deliberately grant it access. The lesson here is called the wisdom of obscurity. The gentle outlasts the strong. The obscure outlasts the obvious. Fish cannot leave deep waters, and a country's weapons should not be displayed. Unquote. Living in obscurity. A large part of your growing up life lessons revolved around the words, notice me. You were taught that the more attention you received, particularly for being a good little person, the more status and approval you'd get from your peers, as well as the adults you knew. Become number one, you were told. Earn that gold star. Win that championship. Get the best grades. Become valedictorian. Attain that letter sweater. Gather up trophies, and so on. Such lessons were all about rising to the top of the crowd and evaluating yourself based on how you stacked up competitively with everyone around you. When you change the way you think about your place in the great scheme of things, you'll discover that the wisdom of obscurity allows you to eliminate competition from your life and retreat into quiet strength. In other words, Lao Tzu is asking you to take it easy and base your view on an entirely new criteria. As you do, your world will begin to reflect a gentle, low-key soul who outlasts those who measure their strength by how much status they have compared to their peers. This verse opens with the idea of understanding the dichotomous nature of the material world and then encourages you to become an astute observer of your life. Feeling belittled means that you must know what it's like to be important. The idea of being weak grows out of having known what it's like to feel strong. As one translator of the Tao Te Ching, Witter Bynner, reminds us, quote, "He who feels punctured must once have been a bubble. He who feels unarmed must have carried arms. He who feels deprived must have had privilege," unquote. Avoid the pitfalls of feeling weak, unimportant, stressed, or fearful by transcending the thinking that got you there in the first place. Keep in mind that if you feel weak, you must have had the opposite perception of being strong at least once. If you experience stress, you have an idea of what being unstressed is like. By becoming independent of the need to compare yourself and fit in, you choose the path that Lao Tzu called the wisdom of obscurity. That is, you release your need to be more anything in the eyes of others. Lao Tzu concludes this elegant verse with the metaphor of fish leaving the deep water. When they try to examine the surface and see the big world beyond those depths, the little guys no longer endure because they're captured by a net. Hence you find the great lesson of this 36th verse: stay under the radar and you'll outlast all who strive to be recognized. When you shift to this viewpoint, your desire for obscurity will surpass your need to be seen as strong and above everyone else, and you won't end up all alone in your trophy room. Here's what Lao Tzu offers you from 25 centuries ago when he dictated this enduring tome of wisdom. Strive to know oneness by seeking awareness of opposites. Make every effort to stay in a state of oneness in your mind. For example, if you're tired, remind yourself that you know what being rested is like. Recognize the opposite feeling so that you can know both of them simultaneously. Do this with any sensation. If you're depressed, weak, jealous, unloved, anything, the antithesis of what you're going through is within your experiential framework. Seek the opposite feeling right in the moment and be at one with it in your mind, for this will provide you with a balanced sense of being at peace within yourself. This is oneness, wherein you entertain extremes and use your mind to be like the Tao, which never divides anything. How can oneness be broken apart? It would no longer exist if you could split it up. And secondly, withdraw yourself and allow others. Monitor your inclinations to compare yourself to others or to stay within the, quote, system. A system is designed to get you to behave just like everyone else, as it contrives to make comparisons determine your success or your happiness. The Tao Te Ching urges you to seek obscurity. Draw little or no attention to yourself, and don't ask to be recognized. Instead, allow, allow, allow. Let other people flourish, waxing on and on about their strength and their popularity. As Lao Tzu says, you must deliberately grant others the right to expand, but take your own lesson from the fish that endure and stay in the deep waters of your Tao-centered soul. Do the Tao now. Give yourself an assignment to be as much in the background as you can for an entire day. Stifle inclinations to compare yourself to anyone else or to draw attention to yourself. You can accomplish this by making a commitment to be interested in others today, substituting the pronoun I for you. So instead of saying, "I did this kind of work for years, let me tell you how you should proceed," remark, "You seem to be doing so well with your new business." In the language of the Tao, stay soft and gentle, and you will endure. The 37th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, "The Tao does nothing, but leaves nothing undone. If powerful men could center themselves in it, the whole world would be transformed by itself in its natural rhythms. When life is simple, pretenses fall away. Our essential natures shine through. By not wanting, there is calm, and the world will straighten itself. When there is silence, one finds the anchor of the universe within oneself." Unquote. Living in simplicity. I call this the bite your tongue, zip your lips verse of the Tao Te Ching. The paradox inherent in the two opening lines intrigues me enormously. The Tao does nothing, but leaves nothing undone. Just imagine what we're being told to consider in this verse. Do nothing, and everything gets done. It obviously contradicts all that you and I have been taught. Doing nothing in our culture suggests a lazy, unsuccessful, and quite possibly worthless individual. So for a moment, let's modify the way we think about living simply and doing nothing. Of all the troubles that are reported in the media, including wars, terrorism, famine, hatred, crime, and disease, how many are the result of interfering with the natural unfolding of creation? How much of the essential nature of ourselves and our planet is able to shine through? What would Earth be like if governments didn't meddle in everyone's lives? What if no one could be perceived as an enemy? Could there be a world where groups of people never got together to control others or to invade or to conquer? How about where oceans, mountains, natural resources, air, plants, and animals were respected and allowed to flourish without any interference? Suppose that such a place of simplicity and lack of interference existed. It would be acting exactly as the Tao does, doing nothing and yet leaving nothing undone. Now shift out of this highly imaginative scenario and begin to reconsider what's meant in this passage by the concept of powerful individuals transforming the world. When they're interfering with natural rhythms, they ultimately create difficulties that are inconsistent with the Tao. Try to visualize great leaders who are instead centered in the Tao. They bite their tongues and zip their lips rather than act in a hostile way, and they refuse to participate in activities that cause harm to anything on the planet. Yes, this may be a fantasy, but it's not an impossibility when you think like a sage and are centered in the Tao. The 37th verse of the Tao Te Ching can also help you change the way you look at yourself. Let's say that you're accustomed to equating the idea of success with a take-charge kind of person. You believe that this individual allocates responsibilities to others because he or she is a leader who's willing and able to tell others what to do and how to do it. Well, this view is completely out of harmony with the Tao, which does nothing and leaves nothing undone. As you alter the way you look at your own power and success, you'll begin to replace strong desires with calm contentment. When you start to allow your true nature, which is the anchor of the universe, to shine through, you'll recognize that the way you look at things has absolutely changed. I've used this simplicity lesson in dealing with all of my children. When I step in and tell them how, I create resistance. But when I bite my tongue, zip my lips, and retreat into silence, they not only figure it out most of the times for themselves, but a calm energy replaces their frustration. I've learned that my kids know how to be. They too have the anchor of the universe within them. They too are centered in the do-nothing, get-everything-done Tao. They too have an essential nature that they're listening to. As I've gotten more adept at trusting this, not only for my children, but for everyone I encounter, I'm more peaceful, and guess what? More, not less, seems to get accomplished, on time and without problems that used to surface because of my interference. Change the way you think about the entire idea of success and power, for this isn't the result of obsessive accomplishment and continually following directions. Start living in a world that you know works far better with less meddling. You understand that not everyone will stop instructing others and just allow the Tao to unfold, but you can be an observer, watching others tap into their power by centering themselves. Here's what Lao Tzu suggests for making this verse become your daily reality. First, cultivate your unique natural self. Practice allowing your essential nature to shine by not enforcing judgments on yourself that were imposed by others. Remind yourself that you don't have to do anything. You don't have to be better than anyone else. You don't have to win. You don't have to be number one or number 27 or any other number. Give yourself permission to just be. Stop interfering with your unique natural being. Lighten the burden you carry to be productive, wealthy, and successful in the eyes of others, and replace it with an inner assertion that allows you to access the Tao. Affirm, I am centered in the Tao. I trust that I am able to straighten myself out, and so is the world. I retreat into silence, knowing that all is well. And second, expect to see the essential nature of others by remaining silent. Deliberately bite your tongue and zip your lips at the precise moment that you're tempted to get involved in the lives of those around you. Become aware of your inclination to tell others, particularly your family members, how they should be conducting their lives. Even if you hold on for a few moments before you butt into someone else's business, You're on your way to allowing those around you to find their anchor of the universe within themselves. This new discipline of resisting your habit to get involved by pausing before interfering will enable you to see how capable everyone truly is when they're in the energy field of someone who allows rather than dictates. Do the Tao now. Print or copy the first two lines of this 37th verse. The Tao does nothing but leaves nothing undone. Read the words repeatedly until you've committed them to memory, then go for a 30-minute walk and take note of their truth. The air, the sky, the clouds, the grass, the winds, the flowers, the bees, nothing natural that you see is undone, but nothing is taking place to work it all out. It's all accomplished by the truth of these words. I'm reminded of a 13th century poem by Rumi called Nibble at Me, which applies perfectly to this section of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, nibble at me. Don't gulp me down. How often is it you have a guest in your house who can fix everything? Unquote. Let your all-knowing guest fix things while you live naturally.